like to continue in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want the church to know that when I embark on trying to preach through a book, it's not without seeking the Lord's will, and it's not without continuing to seek the Lord's will. And I have wondered, does the Lord want me to continue on this or not? But I feel impressed to continue, but I want the church to know I don't just decide to do this and don't continue to pray, but I hope and trust it's of the Lord. And again, I ask an interest in your prayers, realizing our weakness and frailty as men. I want to begin at the first of the chapter just in reading for a context, not to comment really on what we've already commented on, but just for a context this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed," or that means rejected indeed by men, "but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." That word confounded means put to shame, dishonored. That's never going to happen. I want to pick up where we left off last week, which talks about us as lively stones being built up. We've already talked a little bit about how the Lord Jesus is the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone is what all the building was patterned after. The chief cornerstone was the first stone that was set. It's the foundation stone. And all the other stones were to line up on that chief cornerstone. A lot of buildings have a stone that's a cornerstone that describes the building. On the federal courthouse in Jackson that I work in, there's a stone at the very entrance of the building, prominently placed, and it tells who built the building. It tells what president the building was commissioned by. Here in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we not only have a cornerstone that says built by the Lord Jesus, which the church was built by the Lord Jesus. He told Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock," meaning upon the Lord Jesus and upon the truth about him, he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Christ is the builder of the church. So we not only have a cornerstone that says built by the Lord Jesus, we have a cornerstone that is the Lord Jesus. We as lively stones, that word lively literally means living. We are living stones. We talked a little bit about how God is the creator of stones. Men don't make stones, men make bricks, but God makes stones. And stones are all different. And we're built up by the Lord Jesus Christ in the church of the Lord Jesus as being all different this morning. Everybody here has their own unique sets of strengths and abilities, and you are special in the Lord's sight. You are precious in the Lord's sight. You know, if you imagine a stone wall, you can't lay stone like you may lay brick. Brick are all the same. Stones aren't. And we've been placed in the church of the Lord Jesus by the master builder, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's put us in our own special place. Romans 12 talks about us being members of the body of Christ. So we're pictured as members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as stones with our own unique shape, with our own unique size, with our own strengths and abilities, and God has placed us here specially. We're also compared to members of a physical body. You know, each member, my fingers, my hands, my arms, my legs, my feet, my eyes, my ears, all the different members of our body are special. And my eyes have special characteristics that the other parts of my body do not have. I'm going to tell you, everyone is special in the church of the Lord Jesus. We are built up, not torn down. But the Lord built us up in his church, and he loves us. We have a special place. You know, each stone in a stone wall has a special place that they're in that wall, and nobody else can fit that unique place that you fit. Again, a stone wall, each stone is special shape and size, and if you take that stone out of the wall, there's only one stone that can really take that place in that wall, and that's that particular stone. You hold a special place in the church of the Lord Jesus. Each one of us have different gifts and abilities. Not everyone's called to preach. Not everyone can lead the singing. We all have different strengths and abilities. And I'm encouraged. One of the things that all the stones in the wall do is each stone helps hold up the other stones. That's what we do in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love what it says in the book of Hebrews. We look in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. We'll start there for a little context. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, when we hold something fast, it's because it's precious to us or because we need it desperately. When we're holding a little baby, we hold that baby tightly and we hold that baby securely. Why? Because we realize that child is precious. I'm going to tell you, the profession of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. We need to hold it fast. We need to hold it tightly. We need to hold it as something extremely dear, because it is. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. The master builder of the church has been faithful to us. May we be faithful to the profession of faith we made in him. May we hold it fast. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. You know, we all have a fleshly nature. And you know what our fleshly nature tells us, don't you? It's all about me. That's what our fleshly nature is about. But the Lord's given us another nature. He's given us a new nature. He's given us a born-again heart. That born again's heart's at warfare with that old fleshly nature. And we're to embrace that new nature, and we're to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, we usually think of the word provoke as something bad. You know, I was driving down the road the other day, and that guy pulled out in front of me, and he just provoked me to anger. That's usually what we think of about the word provoke. The word provoke literally means to incite. And I can't think about the word incite without thinking about my job as a probation officer. And there's a federal crime that's called inciting a riot. Usually you get those charges out of a federal prison. And there was a contract facility down in Adams County where a bunch of federal inmates incited a riot, hurt a lot of people, caused a lot of property damage, and they incited each other to very evil acts. But you know, the word incite and the word provoke does not have to mean to evil. And that's certainly not what it means here. But it means to provoke and incite people to do good. You know, that's one of the things we have in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come together, we are built up by the Lord Jesus as stones in a wall. We are built up by the Lord Jesus as physical members of the body of Christ. And we're to be here for one another. And we're to consider one another, to provoke or incite one another to love and the good works. You know, we do that in the church of the Lord Jesus. You know, there's so many things in the world that could discourage us. But I'm going to tell you, the church of the Lord Jesus doesn't discourage me. It encourages me. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ builds me up. When I see my fellow saints, my brethren and sisters in Christ that could be doing so many other things, come to the house of God to worship, it provokes me unto love and the good works. When I see people taking care of the physical meeting house of God, it encourages me to love and the good works. When I go see someone in the nursing home and I hear that somebody in the church has called them that week or checked on them, or I call somebody on the phone and hear, well, I was talking to Sister So-and-so, they were checking on me, it provokes me unto love and the good works. It encourages me. When I see my brethren and sisters in Christ showing kindness one to another, when I hear the encouraging words, it provokes me unto love and the good works. Now, I'm going to tell you, we desperately need that. When I'm in the house of God and I hear the saints of God lifting up their voices and their hearts in praise unto God, it encourages me. It helps me to keep on keeping on in the service of God, provoking, inciting one another to love and good works. Not stirring up somebody's flesh, but stirring up somebody's new man. We have that in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, it's precious. You ever been around saints of God, and there's some saints of God that just have such the ability to just emanate love out of their hearts? And after just being around them for a little while, you just feel so refreshed and so renewed. We have that in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, it's precious. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. says we're to exhort one another. That means encourage one another, build one another up. We've already seen in 1 Peter chapter 2 that the chief cornerstone was rejected by men. Now I'm going to tell you, we're going to be rejected by this world. John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Jesus looks at his disciples and says, ye are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. You know, as I saw some of our political leaders criticized for simply making the statement that they were praying for the families in Texas, that they were praying for them, that the Lord would uplift them and the Lord would carry them through, and to see them criticized for that. I'm going to tell you, the world hates the Lord Jesus Christ and the world hates those that follow him. Let us not be deceived. I'll tell you, the world does its best to tear us down. But I'm going to tell you, God's given us a place. God's built us up as living stones in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to encourage us in the midst of a fallen world. Now I'm going to tell you, we need to come together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but to come together in worship, in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, where the Lord Jesus Christ himself, our chief cornerstone, is right here, right now, to be with us. Because he loves us, we need that desperately. The Lord's given us a place to come. And we're built up as living stones. We come together to praise him, to glorify his name. And in doing that, we lift one another up. We encourage one another. And I'll tell you, it gives me strength to go back out into the world and to keep on keeping on in the service of my Lord, my Savior, my Master, and my Redeemer. We need that so desperately. I need you. You need me. We need one another. And I thank God for you. You encourage me. You help me. You lift me up when the world has torn me down. We're living stones. And the master builder, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the builder of the church. He's the foundation of the church. He's the chief cornerstone of the church. What a blessing we have in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in 1 Peter chapter 2, he said, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. You know we're priests this morning? We are priests in the household of faith. We believe as old Baptists in something that's called the individual priesthood of the believer. We don't have to go to a priest to confess our sins, but we as a priest can go directly to the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest. We confess our sins to him. We're a holy priesthood. It says we offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Now you think about that a minute. How in the world could a fallen sinner, a guilty bankrupt sinner like me, offer up spiritual sacrifices that are actually acceptable to God that he'll receive in heaven and amount of glory. How? I'll tell you, it's by the little three letters, three words that follow. I think it's three. Let me count them. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, it is three. By Jesus Christ. That's how we're able to offer up spiritual sacrifices. You may say, Brother Mark, what are you talking about, spiritual sacrifices? Well, I'll tell you, it's not a sacrifice for sin, because that's already been offered. The Lord Jesus Christ, our chief cornerstone, the builder of the church, he went to Calvary's tree, and by one offering, Hebrews tells us, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering, by one sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, he forever put away sin. And because of that one sacrifice, heaven and a mode of glory will be our home. God forbid our life, physical life, is ever snuffed out in an act of violence like happened this past week. But I'll tell you, if it is, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we'll wake up in glory. We'll wake up looking at the face of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, that's worth all the silver and gold in the world, worth far more than anything this world can offer. It's what he did for us. That was a sacrifice for sin. We don't offer God those kind of sacrifices. What do we offer him? Sacrifices of praise. Not a sin sacrifice. We offer sacrifices of praise. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 15. By him. How are we able to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God? What did we just read? By Jesus Christ. It's by him. We can't give suitable praise this morning but by our chief cornerstone, the master builder of the church. We do it by him. Now, what's the first two words here in verse 15? By him. Who's it talking about? By the Lord Jesus. By him. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Does that include the songs of praise we sang this morning? You bet it does. Does it include when we're not at the house of God and we give words of praise to our Lord and tell others what great things the Lord has done for us? You bet it does. It says, let us offer to God the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Something we ought to do not just on Sunday, but every day, to talk about the good things the Lord has done for us. One of the great ways in which some of the saints of God have been such an encouragement to me is even in conversations where we're talking about the Lord. I'm going to tell you, Brother James White, he may be embarrassed I call his name out, but I'm telling you, he's one of the best examples I've ever seen of that in my life. If you're talking with him, you're talking about the Lord. That's the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Even the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. When we tell others, the Lord's really blessed me, we're giving thanks to his name. When we speak of what great things he's done for us, you know, I love it. I love it when we have visitors here, and I thank you that ask people to come to worship with us. What a wonderful blessing when our folks here ask others to come visit with us and to be with us and to worship with us. That shows you value what we have here in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a blessing. And it's a good thing to invite others to the house of God. What a blessing it is. That's telling others, we give thanks to what the Lord's done for us, and I want you to see some of it. You know, the Lord Jesus, two disciples of John came to the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, where do you abide? You know what Jesus said? Come and see. You know, we ought to be inviting people to come and see. If we think the Lord meets with us here, we ought to be inviting people, come and see. We've met the Lord Jesus there, and we've seen him through an eye of faith. Come and see. Come and see. He continues in Hebrews 13, sacrifice of praise to God continual, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Does that mean when we pray to God and thank God for all his blessings? Yes. We can do this every day. We should definitely be doing it in the worship service of God on Sunday, but we ought to not just do it then, but do it every day. Thank God every day for all that he's done for us. Then he says, but to do good and do communicate, forget not. You know that word communicate there is a Greek word, koinonia. You know it's the same word that we have for communion. What do we have in communion? It's a sharing together of the things we hold most dear. The blood and the body of the Lord Jesus. It says, but to do good and to communicate, it literally has a connotation of a sharing or a partnership. Forget not, for with such, listen, sacrifices, God is well pleased. When we share with others the good things the Lord's blessed us with, that is a sacrifice to God. It says, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know why we're here as the elect family of God? You know why we're here as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? The most brief description I can give of why we are here is two words. Please God. That's why we're here. We pray that our worship this morning pleases God. I pray my life as a father pleases God. Pray my life as a husband. Pray my life as a probation officer pleases God. You remember when the Apostle Paul was talking to the young preacher Timothy? He's using the analogy of a soldier. And he tells Timothy, you're like a soldier. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why did he tell Timothy he needed to do that? He said that you may please him that's chosen you to be a soldier. Our life as a stone in the Lord's church. Our life as part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life as a soldier of Jesus Christ is to please God. And we're a holy priesthood that offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Turn, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3. We'll start in verse 15 for a little bit of context. It said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Again, he's referring to the body of Christ, and he's saying, let the peace of God rule. Not the negativity, not the downtroddenness of the world, but let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God be the one in charge. And be thankful. Have you ever started having a pity party when you're thinking about everything that's gone wrong? Maybe over the last week, the last month, the last years. I'm going to tell you, we can get ourselves down by what we let rule in our minds. We start thinking about, well, you know, this kind of went wrong, and this went wrong with the car, this went wrong at the house, this went wrong at work. We can get ourselves depressed in a hurry. But if we let the peace of God rule, we choose to focus on what the Lord's done for us. We choose to focus on the good things the Lord has given us, heaven and immortal glory. How Jesus, God, was willing to send his only begotten Son just for us. How good the people of God have been to us. How encouraging they are in the house of God, and we choose to think on the good things of God. I'm going to tell you, that sadness will go just right on away. It does with me. When I begin to feel sorry for myself, and he said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called together in one body, and be ye thankful. You know, when I feel sorry for myself, I'm not being thankful. I'm focusing on the wrong thing. You know, the Bible tells us in Philippians that even we're in the midst of a troubled time, it says, be careful for nothing. It means don't worry. Don't be full of care. Be careful for nothing. You may say, Brother Mark, that's easier said than done. I got a lot to worry about. Be careful for nothing. What do we do instead of that? You know, if you just put me in a chair up here and said, Brother Mark, whatever you do, don't worry. You know, the first thing I'm going to start thinking about, something to worry about. That doesn't work to not think about, to just say, don't worry. But the Word of God gives us something to do instead. You know, the best way to keep me from doing bad things is to keep Mark Quarles too busy doing good things. If you just tell me not to do something bad, and I'm sitting there saying, I don't want to do anything bad, I'm going to wind up doing something bad if you don't give me something else to occupy my time. Philippians 4 tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It gives us something to do instead, to be thanking God, to count. We sing a song, count your many blessings. See what God had done. Count your many blessings. Now, I'm going to tell you, we've got a lot of them. Me and Brother John Mark were able to go down. His homeschool team played down there in New Orleans, and they got to play on that NBA court, and we got to see the New Orleans Pelicans play against the Los Angeles Clippers, and a bunch of good young folks on that team, those that love the Lord and try to do things that are right. And it was a good day. You know, as we were leaving there, we go by all those bridges there in New Orleans, and we see all the people literally living under the bridge. And you know, whatever problems I think I have, you know, when you see that, it's just a little bit of a wake-up call. Say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And Lord, forgive me when I complain. When we're able to just go about the activities of life, and some people are not. He said, be careful for nothing. Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Lord, thank you for all you've done for me. Let your request be made known unto God. Is it okay for ask God for things we need? Yes. That's who we go to. The Lord cares about you so much, He knows the very number of the hairs on your head. That's how intricately He knows you. Nobody else knows the numbers of the hairs on your head but God. He knows us better than anybody, and He cares. The Bible said, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Let your requests be made known unto God. When we do that, what happens? He said, in the peace of God. What are we talking about? The peace of God ruling in our hearts? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to tell you, we need that as much in 2017 in the United States of America as has ever been needed for our hearts to be kept, for our minds to be kept in Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you, the filth of this world will infect our mind. Now, I'm going to tell you, it can get in our heart where we love things we don't need to love. And our old fleshly nature runs after things we don't need to run after. But He said, if you do what I'm saying, you be thankful. You let your requests be made known unto God. He said, I'll give you a precious promise. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a blessing. I want my mind kept in this old world. What about you? I want my heart kept. What about you? He tells us how to do it. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Then it said in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Somebody doesn't have to come to Providence Church very long to notice our song service is very different. First of all, we don't have any musical instruments. Secondly, there's no bulletin that says we're going to sing 257 first, then we're going to sing 298 second, and we're going to sing 53 third. Folks, just call out numbers. We don't do it that way for no reason. There's a reason. Sometimes you may think, well, what are those old Baptists doing? They don't have any reason for that. No, there's a reason. Sometimes the people that are doing it may not know the reason, but there's a reason. You know, when we call out a song, that we're teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Every song that was called out this morning taught me something. Every song that was called out this morning blessed my heart. And that's one of the ways we encourage one another in the worship service of God. When a song is called out, that encourages me. That is teaching me. Says we're teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody on the piano with the guitar. What does it say? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Yes, we use our vocal cords, but we sing in our heart to the Lord. You know that the very earliest churches in Christianity, none of them had instrumental music. None of them. I don't care what denomination you're talking about. The New Testament church sang with the vocal cords, but they were singing from the born-again heart. That's the instrument of worship. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's precious. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, there's an instance in which we're teaching and admonishing one another in the song service, but the praise is all to God. the praise is all to the Lord. Now look at what it says. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a whole sermon right there in that verse. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, we've seen on many TV shows throughout the years a very common phrase by police when they're chasing after somebody. They'll say, "Stop! In the name of the law." Y'all have heard that many times in your life. For a police officer to say, "In the name of the law," they've got to be commanding you to do something that's consistent with the law. The police can't say, "Hey, go rob a bank in the name of the law." Why can't they say that? Because robbing a bank is against the law. So if we do something in the name of the Lord Jesus, it has to be something that's consistent with the law of the Lord Jesus, that's consistent with what Jesus would want. And you know, that's very valuable. It says, whatsoever ye do in word. That means before I speak and before you speak, we need to ask a question. What I'm about to say, can I say it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Whoa. You think Mark Quarles would say a few less words if I asked myself that question every time I spoke? Yeah, to be honest. Whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, not only what we say, it's what I'm about to say, can I do it in the name of Jesus? The answer is no, we probably not say it. Then it says deed. That encompasses a whole lot of things. Can I watch this TV show in the name of the Lord Jesus? Can I? Can I watch this movie? Can I go to a certain place in the name of the Lord Jesus? The answer to that is no. That we ought not to do it. That's clear, simple teaching of Scripture. Goes along with everything we've been talking about in 1 Peter 2. Remember who we line up on? The chief cornerstone. We do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And when I do that, when I do say something that I can say in the name of the Lord Jesus, when I do something that I can do in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm going to tell you, it's giving sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices that please God. You know, when Noah and his family got off the ark, there they had been on that ark for so many, many months, and they had seen all the things that had gone with that worldwide flood, the windows of heaven being opened, the fountains of the deep billowing up. They had been tossed all around in that ark. They've been on that ark a long time. Finally, they get off the ark. The earth is drying. God had sent a wind, and the earth is drying. You know what Noah's first order of business was? Was to worship the Lord. He offered up some sacrifices. You know what? The Bible said God smelled them. God smelled those sacrifices. God was pleased. You know, it's been a blessing to me in traveling among the saints of God to see the way different saints of God show love. Some show love with a hug. Some may show love with a firm handshake. Some show love by deeds of service. And some of you, your love's language in a way is providing food. And when you show love, and even with the smell of a dish that has been prepared, it's so pleasing to the one that's given it. And they can, for lack of a better way to say it, even smell the love and the well-pleasing in it. Now, I'm going to tell you, when we offer up spiritual sacrifices to God, that aroma goes up into heaven itself. Now, I'm going to tell you, God is pleased. And he sees the love that we have for him. When we do things in his name to please him and to praise him and to worship him, he is well pleased. What a blessing that is. That's what we have in the church, the Lord Jesus. What a tremendous, wonderful blessing it is. I'm going to tell you, our chief cornerstone is the one that secured heaven and immortal glory for us. That no matter what anybody in this world might do, even if they seek to snuff out our life, we breathe our last breath, we see his face in glory. We'll see it forever and ever and ever. The things of this world fade away. The things of our Lord last forever. May God richly bless you. It's my prayer.